Now it's time for the latest in our series of book recommendations called Page Turner. We're going to talk about two novels, Bestiary and Lolo Woods. They both fall in the general realm of fantasy and suspense and even horror. To learn more, I'm joined by Changing Hands bookseller Savannah Fields. Savannah, I mentioned horror is one of the genres these books fit into. After the scares we've experienced in 2020, why do you think readers would want to pick these up?
You know, how did we get here? What are the circumstances or the context with which, we arrived at this point? And both of these books tackle some more niche topics, but they do deal with these sort of uglier parts of life, but not necessarily the more nihilistic parts. And so I think what's beautiful about both of these books is that you can look at them for all that they are and all of their ugliness and all of the terrible things they might present to you, and walk away with actually a better reflection of why those things exist, but more importantly, how we can react from them or to them and how we can heal from them.
Let's talk about Bestiary, named one of the best books of the year by several different outlets. Give us a quick plot summary of what this is about.
Kaiming Chang is a poet, and this is her first foray into fiction, where she weaves the stories told by and for three generations of Taiwanese women, who are appropriately named grandmother, mother, and daughter, into a stunning exploration of queerness, womanhood, and diaspora, and the accompanying traumas of each. So each woman mythologizes her own lineage in the form of storytelling, mythologies that are both informed by and built upon the women who precede and follow them. And it creates this multi-generational and reality-bending magic. Daughter grows a tail, snakes can live inside of a body, and mysterious sudden holes in the ground spit out letters from grandmother's past. So together, through and across time, blending magic with reality, the three women begin to provide reference and reflection for one another and themselves on their own trauma and healing.
That sounds poetic to me in and of itself, but since this is a first actual work of fiction, how much of the poetry background does come into the flow of the story?
Oh, so much. Chang, she really laces her prose with these intrinsic lyrical puzzles that you can pore over for hours. And really, the whole novel reads almost like one long prose poem. And it's interesting when you think about how language plays into a story of diaspora, for example. Language is a replica of our own history, of our trauma, of the things stolen from us. And so often language acts as a boundary or as a gatekeeper. So it seems appropriate that a story like this was written by a poet who is a master of language.
The story also involves three generations of women. How does that play into the importance of how the story is put together?
Two of the three generations are queer, as we would define them. And both of these books relate queerness and womanhood to trauma. So to be queer or to be a woman, to be an immigrant, having a traumatic experience of some sort is sort of par for the course. Of course, multi-generationally, these experiences bear a lot of similarities to one another. You know, grandmother, mother, and daughter all experience very similar things. But as they move region to region, as time goes on, as they're surrounded by different people, different contextual societies, their experiences also change. And so that's why and how they're able to provide reference for one another as they are telling each other these stories about their lives.
How does the genre of mythology help play into all this? Some of the most fascinating books we've seen over the generations are things that create sort of a new mythology.
Yeah. So in this story, the experience of being queer acts as a creation of new myths, both in response to and despite of an exclusionary past. So through that, there is this necessity of mythologizing our stories, mythos of diaspora, of love, of loss, of abuse. And through telling these stories, stories of our own past, there's a level of dissociation that occurs, like the self-effacement that provides clarity, but it's also a result of trauma. And so in telling these stories, we allow ourselves to reflect on them and to pass them on to new generations to learn from.
Can the mythology in and of itself help us or help the characters deal with some of this past pain and past trauma? Is that an effective method in some ways?
Oh, absolutely. And I think what's really interesting about what Kaiming Chang does here is it's not just, you know, the traditional method of passing stories on of what we like to think of as oral storytelling, where grandmother teaches mother and mother teaches daughter and so on. We find a lot of intergenerational teaching as well. So daughter teaches mother, daughter teaches grandmother, mother teaches grandmother, and so on. The younger generations are also able to give clarity to the older generations. And I think that's just as beautiful and as important as the older generations teaching the young ones.
And Savannah, let's talk more specifically, though we alluded to it, the Lolo Woods, by Carmen Maria Machado. Let's talk first of all about the plot, please.
Yes. So The Low, Low Woods is a uniquely American horror tale with a surreal twist. It's set in a dying Pennsylvania mining town where two teenagers find themselves the latest victims of a mysterious memory disease that only affects the women of the town. Even if you don't generally read graphic novels, this is one to pick up and sit with. The artist, Donnie is her name, her illustrated body in an environmental horror is only half of the trepidation you feel when the mystery slowly starts to come to light. And in it, Machado weaves together this ancient folkloric thread with an environmental allegory and asks us questions like, how much can we extract from the earth before it begins to cave out beneath us? And even more interestingly, how much can we extract from ourselves and others before we too begin to turn into sinkholes?
The graphic novel format, how well does it work for this?
Oh, after reading it, I cannot imagine any other way that it would exist. Carmen Maria Machado is literary dynamite. You know, you might know her from her short story collection or from her memoir. She really shines in this medium. This is the kind of story that's very liminal. It's very metaphorical. And having those illustrations on the page really brings these metaphors to life in a way that would be harder to do with just a prose or fiction format. So, you know, when you see women turning into literal sinkholes and that's illustrated on the page right in front of you in bright technicolor, it's really jarring, it's horrifying, and it sinks in a way that's really unique.
That is Savannah Fields. She is a bookseller at Changing Hands Bookstore. We've been talking about Bestiary. We've also been talking about Low, Low Woods. Savannah, thanks very much.
Thank you, Steve.